Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. And we just want to read the first three verses from this chapter. Today I want to commence a study on the life and times of Joshua. And over these next number of weeks and months, we're going to consider this character and the times in which he lived. Let's just read the first three verses of Joshua chapter 1 today. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. My text can be found in verse 1 of this short portion of scripture which we have read today. At the end of verse 1, it says, Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for this lovely hymn that we have just been singing that reveals unto us the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee that the Lord Jesus has not only died, but he has risen again and he ever lives. We thank thee to make intercession for his people. And O God, as we turn to thy precious word now, we do pray, Lord, that even in this message, that you would reveal unto us Christ. We thank thee for our Savior. We praise thee for what he has done and what he has accomplished on our behalf. And O God, we recognize today, those of us who are saved, that we're only sinners saved by grace. But we thank thee for the grace of God in Christ. And we thank thee for the mercy of God that's found in Christ. And O God, we pray today that you would therefore draw our attention once again to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Lord, speak to all of our hearts. So often, Lord, we just hear the voice of a man. But, O God, we pray that we will not hear the voice of man today, but far above the voice of man, that we might hear that still small voice of God saying unto us, this is the way, walk ye in it. Lord, we need your help. Come and help us now. Fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. For in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Joshua is indeed a remarkable character. I don't know whether you've ever studied his life as it is revealed in the Bible, but you should. Did you know that in the biblical record of this great man of God, that no scandal or moral failure is recorded about his character? Now, that's not to say that he was perfect. He certainly was not perfect. Like the best of men, he was a sinner saved by grace. However, he's one of the few men in the Bible who was faithful to God until the day of his death. Indeed, the only negative thing that is said of Joshua in the Bible has to do with the Gibeonites. And that criticism was indirect and does not even mention Joshua's name. Joshua, of course, was the successor of Moses. After Moses died, Joshua took over the leadership of the children of Israel. Under God, he led the Israelites across the River Jordan and into the Promised Land. And he led them to victory after victory after victory. Indeed, the book of Joshua is a book of victory. The book of Joshua is a book of conquering. And we're going to see that as we continue in these studies. Joshua was one of the greatest military leaders that ever lived. Indeed, few generals, if any, have ever led a nation's army as successfully as Joshua. If you're interested in the military, if you're interested in battles and wars and victories, then read and study the book of Joshua. A study of Joshua's life reveals to us how it is possible to live a victorious Christian life in this world of sin. Joshua not only fought against his enemies, but he conquered and overcame his enemies, revealing unto us the key to victory over the enemy of our souls. And in the course of these studies, we will see how Joshua gained these victories and how he was successful. And I pray, child of God, that the Lord will bless these messages to all of our hearts and bless the study of this character to all of our lives. Because in these days, it's so important to live in victory in our Christian lives. And we can live in victory over the world and over the flesh and over the devil. And I pray that the Lord will speak very personally and definitely to each and every one of us, and that the Lord will work in our hearts as we study this character and study the times in which he lived. Now, just as an introductory message today, I want to highlight three simple thoughts about Joshua. And I pray that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. First of all, I want you to notice very simply the significance of Joshua's name. Now, I'm sure we all know the meaning of the name Joshua. But for the benefit of those who are with us and you don't know the meaning of his name, Joshua means Jehovah is salvation. As you know, parents in Bible times give their children names which had significant meanings. However, when Joshua was born, his name was not Joshua, but Hoshea. And you read that in Deuteronomy 32, verse 44. Hoshea means salvation or savior. But Moses was the one who changed or extended Joshua's name from Hoshea to Joshua. And you can read that in Numbers chapter 13 and the verse 16. And of course, Joshua means, as I have said, Jehovah is salvation. So what a significant name Joshua was given. The significance of the name Joshua, of course, is this. And many of you will know this. The name Joshua is the same name that Christ bore in the New Testament. The name Jesus is the Greek form of Joshua. Or you could say it like this, Joshua is the Hebrew form of Jesus. Both names mean the same thing. And that's the significant thing about the name Joshua. Therefore, right away, Joshua draws our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, there's no doubt that Joshua is an Old Testament type of Christ. And in the course of these studies, we will be seeing this more and more. And my prayer is that as we study Joshua and study his life and study his times, that in the course of these messages, we will be drawn to Christ. Child of God, it is so important, even when we read and study the Old Testament, that we seek out Christ. Because the Lord Jesus is to be found in all the Scriptures, not only in the New Testament. And it's good, of course, and needful and necessary to read the New Testament and to read about the life of the Lord Jesus and about his church and about the advancement of his work in the New Testament. So important. But even when we read the Old Testament, the Old Testament reveals unto us the Son of God, because the Lord Jesus Christ did not begin at Bethlehem. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. But long before the Word became flesh in Bethlehem's manger, the second person in the Holy Trinity was very much in existence. And here we can see, right at the very outset of this study on Joshua, the very meaning of Joshua's name points us to the Saviour of the world. Of course, Joshua, as we have said, is an Old Testament type of Christ. Joshua's name, therefore, points us to Jesus the Saviour. Well, what do we learn about Jesus the Saviour? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the sinless Saviour. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. And, of course, he's the dying Saviour. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 tells us as well. And 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. He's the resurrected Saviour. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4. He's the only Saviour. Acts 4, verse 12. And John 14, verse 6. And he's the coming Saviour. Acts 1, verses 10 to 11. In a few moments' time, those of us who are saved, we will be remembering this wonderful Saviour, especially remembering his death upon the cross. Oh, isn't it wonderful that even today as we worship the Lord, that we can lift up our hearts and praise the one who died and rose again in order to justify us and to redeem us. Jesus the Saviour. What a wonderful Saviour he is. I wonder, as we are gathered in the service today, is the Lord Jesus Christ your Saviour? I mentioned there, as I went down the list very quickly, that he was the only Saviour and is the only Saviour. And of course, that reference that I called out there in Acts, it says this: neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. As far as Joshua was concerned, he was the one that God chose to lead the children of Israel after Moses. And he was going to lead them to victory. He was going to lead them into the promised land. And thank God, there's a greater than Joshua. The Lord Jesus Christ. He is God's appointed Redeemer. God's appointed Savior. He's the one that can save us. He's the one that can forgive us, and the only one who can forgive us for our sins. But he wants to lead us to victory. He wants to lead us to heaven. He wants to lead us to the promised land of glory. And my friend, if you're found here and you're not saved, then my prayer is that you'll come and trust this only Savior and trust him as your own and personal Redeemer. I know that many of you have, and you're saved and you love the Lord and you're on your way to heaven. But there are those here today, you're not. Oh, my friend, don't miss heaven. And don't miss Christ. And don't miss God's only Savior, the Lord Jesus. So that's the significance of Joshua's name. It points us to Christ. It's the same name as Jesus in the New Testament. Now, there's something else I want you to notice about Joshua here. I want you to notice not only the significance of his name, but I want you to notice that Joshua was saved by the blood of the Lamb. Look what it says there in our text in verse 1. It says, Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, in Exodus chapter 12, we read about the last plague that God sent to Egypt before the children of Israel were delivered from Egyptian bondage. That last plague was the Passover. And I know that you'll be familiar with the Passover in Exodus chapter 12. That was the time when the death angel passed through the land of Egypt, and the firstborn in every home that was not covered by the blood of the Lamb died. In Exodus 12 we read that in every Egyptian home the firstborn died because there was no blood upon the doorposts of their homes. But all the firstborn in every Israelite home were saved because their homes were covered by the blood of the Lamb. Let me just read you the verses in Exodus 12 and verse 12. Listen to this. And I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be for you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now that story is familiar to us. And that's exactly what happened. And when you read the rest of Exodus chapter 12, you read that the death angel came. And all the homes that were not covered in the blood, the Egyptian homes, the firstborn died. Well, here's a little bit of information for you. Maybe you know this already. Joshua was the firstborn in his family. Joshua, the son of Nun, was Nun's firstborn. And I believe we can learn that from 1 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 27. You take the time to mark it and read it when you go home. According to that text, Joshua was the firstborn in the family of Nun. Therefore, Joshua was protected. He was delivered. He was saved by the blood of the Lamb. You see, Joshua was in Egypt. Joshua's history does not begin in Joshua chapter 1. Indeed, we read about Joshua in Exodus. We're going to see that in a moment. Joshua was a born man in Egypt. Joshua was among the children of Israel when they were slaves in Egypt. Joshua was there that night that the death angel passed over. He was there in his family. And his home was covered in the blood. It had to be covered in the blood. And if the blood of the Lamb had not been covering Joshua's home that night, he would have died. He would have died. Therefore, I say to you, Joshua was saved by the blood of the Lamb. He was saved and delivered through the blood of the Lamb. What does this teach us? Well, it teaches us the importance of the blood of the Lamb. That's what it teaches us. And of course, again, it points us to Christ. Not only does Joshua's name point us to the Savior, but Joshua's deliverance from Egypt points us to the Savior. Why did Jesus die on the cross? He died to shed his precious blood. And it was through the shedding of his precious blood that the Savior paid the price of man's redemption. Therefore, all who are saved in Christ are covered by the blood of the Lamb. Listen to these words in 1 John 1 verse 7. It says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. For thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by the blood." Revelation 5 verse 9. Revelation 1 verse 5 says, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." So time and time again, the Word of God emphasizes the importance of the blood. Not only in the New Testament, but also in the Old Testament. Indeed, there's a scarlet thread running right throughout this book that we hold in our hands today, the precious Word of God. And it reveals unto us the importance of the blood of the Lamb. My friend, God will not accept you and God will not accept me on any other basis apart from the blood of the Lamb. I wonder, as we're gathered in God's house today, this Lord's Day, are you covered in the blood of the Lamb? Are you saved by the blood of the Lamb? Your good works will not save you. Cain found that out when he brought his offering in Genesis to God. God rejected Cain's offering. And throughout history, not only Bible history, but the history of this world, men have found that out as well. There's only one approach to God. There's only one way whereby God will save us and deliver us and bring us to heaven. And that is through the blood of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. We often sing that hymn, and what a lovely hymn it is. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Joshua, the son of Nun. The significance of his name His name means Jehovah is salvation, or Jehovah is Savior, and it points us to Christ. But Joshua was saved by the blood because he was the firstborn. And he was delivered that night in Egypt. That night in Egypt he was delivered only because the blood was sprinkled upon the doorposts and upon the little of his home. Apart from that, he would have been killed. He wouldn't have survived. We would never have read another thing about Joshua if the blood had not been applied. Oh, my friend, has the blood been applied? You say, how do I get the blood applied? Well, you come by faith to Christ. You trust him alone as your own and personal Redeemer. Thank God if you do. The Lord will save you and the Lord will redeem you. What is saving faith? Well, come tonight and you'll find out what saving faith is. Saving faith in Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this. Saving faith in Jesus Christ results in eternal redemption. It results in salvation. It results in a home in heaven. Would you not trust the Savior today and accept him as your own and personal Redeemer? Now, there's just one other thing, and we're going to be brief today because this is going to be a busy day. Going to be brief, but there's just one thing, final thing I want to draw your attention to. Not only the significance of his name, not only that he was saved through the blood of the Lamb, but I want you to notice that Joshua was the servant of Moses. It's not what it says here. Look what it says. It says, Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Now, we're told here that Joshua was the minister of Moses. Now, in two other places, this word for minister is translated servant. The word simply means to wait upon, or to serve, or to minister unto. That's what the word minister there means. It means a servant. The word speaks of someone's readiness to serve another. That's what the word literally means. In other words, Joshua was willing to do what he could to help Moses in the work of God. You see, before Joshua became a leader, before he led the nation, he was a servant to the one who led. Moses, of course, was the one who led the children of Israel initially. He was God's man. He was God's appointed leader. And Joshua was under Moses. And God had appointed him to that position of servant to Moses. And as we're going to find out in these studies, Joshua eventually took over from Moses and became his successor. And that's what this chapter is all about. Joshua chapter 1. And we're going to find out next week and the weeks that follow how the Lord called Joshua and how the Lord led Joshua and how the Lord set Joshua aside for this work and for this great business of leading the children of Israel across Jordan and into the promised land. But for a number of years before that happened, Joshua took the humble place and was the servant of Moses. He served. Just take a look in Exodus chapter 17 and take a look there at verse 9 and you'll read these words. And Moses said unto Joshua. Moses said unto Joshua. So here Joshua is following the instructions of Moses because he's Moses' minister. He's Moses' servant. He's under Moses. Look at chapter 24. Of Exodus in verse 13. And you read these words. And Moses rose up, and his minister, or his servant, Joshua. See that? Again, it's emphasizing the truth that we learn in Joshua chapter 1 about Joshua. Take a look at chapter 33 of Exodus and verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant, Joshua, that's the same word, that word for servant is the same word for as minister. His servant, Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And there's other verses Numbers 11, verse 28, and there's other scripture verses which emphasize that long before Joshua became the leader of the nation of Israel, he was a servant to the leader. You know, we learn three things here very quickly. We learn this, child of God. First of all, we're saved to serve. We're saved to serve. We're not saved to stand idly by and watch others serving. No, the Lord has saved us and he has called us to serve him. To serve him. And I pray in these days that we will serve him with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds, and that we will seek to witness for Christ. Also, before God can use us to do great things, he must be able to trust us to do the little things. Do we not learn that here as well? Moses was a faithful man of God, but Joshua was a faithful servant to Moses. He was a man who was tested. He was a man who was tried. And before God called him to lead the nation, God was making sure that he was of fit caliber in order to do that. And you know, child of God, before the Lord uses us for great things, he has to use us to do the little things. Sometimes it's easier to be a leader than a servant. Sometimes we think we should be thrust out into that position of leadership without going through the years of being a servant. But I believe the Lord will only use those whom he can trust. And he can trust Joshua, because Joshua has been tested. For years he has been the servant to Moses. He has done, if you like, the menial tasks. No, they were not menial. And nothing in the work of God, and nothing in the house of God, and nothing in the church of God is menial. The psalmist could say that he'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than live in the tents of the wicked. And, O child of God, whatever task the Lord gives us to do in his work, we ought to be thankful that the Lord has given us that little task. Because little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. But there's something else here that we learn from Joshua the servant. And again, it points us to Christ. His name pointed us to Christ. The fact that he was saved by the blood of the Lamb, that pointed us to Christ. The work of Christ in redemption. But, you know, we can say about the Lord Jesus that he was willing to serve others. Did I not say that this word, it literally means someone's readiness to serve another? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was willing and ready to serve others, because he became a servant himself. The Son of God, the second person in the Holy Trinity, became a servant. He left heaven's glory. He left the throne of heaven. He took upon himself the form of flesh, human flesh. He came down into this world. And he became the servant, became the healer of many. And he became the savior of many. And he went to the cross in order to save us, in order to redeem us. And he's still the servant of many, because the Bible tells me he's making intercession for us. He ever liveth to make intercession for his people. Oh, again, this aspect of Joshua's life points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, I pray in these days that the Lord, through his word, will reveal unto us the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world. He is the Savior, the only Savior. He died in order to provide redemption for the whosoever will. Thank God. Thank God. He left heaven's splendor. And he became a servant. So that he might die the just for the unjust. In order that he might bring us to God. That's why Nothing outside God's redemption will get you and me to heaven. There's nothing outside, nothing outside God's salvation. God's redemption will get us to heaven. And why should it? Why should our good works get us to heaven? Why should our churchianity get us to heaven? When God sent his Son to die upon the cross in order to provide eternal redemption for us. If we could get to heaven through our good works or any other means, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ did not have to die upon the middle tree in Golgotha's brow. He died because that was the only way of redemption. He died and rose again because that was the only means whereby you and I, hell guilty sinners, could find salvation and make peace with God through the blood of the Lamb. And that's what we're coming to remember just in a few moments' time. That's why Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget about my death. Don't forget that I became a servant. Don't forget that I became the Savior. Don't forget that I died upon the middle tree. Don't forget what I have accomplished. Because it's the only means of entrance into God's heaven. And it's the only means of escape from God's hell. Is he your Savior today? If he's not, come and accept him and trust him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, that the word points us to the Savior. Oh God, we just pray as we would seek to continue these studies that week by week in thy will, that we will see more of Jesus, our Savior. We thank thee for Joshua, the one who was used to deliver Israel, the one who was used to lead Israel into victory. Oh, but we thank thee for the heavenly Joshua, the Lord Jesus, our Savior, the one who's able to lead us not only into victory over the world, the flesh and the devil, but lead us into victory completely, bring us home to glory in heaven someday. Oh God, what a day that's going to be when we leave the battles of this old earth behind us. We leave the conflicts of this old world behind us. We go home to be with the Lord. Oh God, give us a vision, give us a glimpse of the resurrected Christ. Bless your word today and bless everyone who has heard it. And we pray that you'll encourage your saints. And we pray, Lord, that you'll draw the unsaved to yourself. And oh God, teach them the importance of the blood of the Lamb. For in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.